Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who's about to start his 25th series of this podcast. It's Richard Herring. Not me. Hello. Wow. Yeah, it's the first episode of Series 25, which is going to be slightly confusing for the audience here today. I tell you, you're much better than the audience will have in 3 weeks' time. That's all I can say to you. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. But I was talking to Nicholas Witchell the other day, the royal correspondent, very good at his job. He told me that he imagined that in the privacy of their own homes, the royal family call it Rehlistopus. I don't know if that's going to... I was hoping that Nicholas Witchell would be buried in the coffin with the Queen, like in ancient Egyptian style. And if he loves the royal family as much as he claims to... I really absolutely hate Nicholas Witchell. I don't know, that's I've never met a man. This is actually, we're recording this on the Monday before it goes out, so it's out in 2 days, so I can be ultra topical. The Queen has just died. I don't know if you saw, the Queen just died last week. Queen Elizabeth II, she was a great woman. Everyone's been retweeting that picture of the Queen holding the hand of Paddington and heading to heaven. And I'm, you know, most people seem to be taking it as Paddington leading the Queen to the afterlife, which is still strange. But I'm wondering if it's the Queen just taking Paddington with her, just going, if I can't have him, none of you fuckers can have him either. He's coming with me. I wasted everything in 3 weeks' time for this, didn't I? Now I look at it. And it's good to see people, Republicans and anti-monarchists, protesting against the coffin of a 96-year-old dead woman. I think you've got to choose your moment, haven't you? I mean, I don't think you should arrest people for for protesting, but also, you know, don't go all Westboro fucking Baptist on the way. It's like, choose your moment, mate. It's just literally... It's Prince. They're annoyed with Prince Andrew. Yeah. I think Prince Andrew may be out in the cold. That's what I'm going to say. Prince Andrew's looking after the corgis, right? That's his new. That's genuinely his new job, which is good because he tried to feel up his own daughter's ass the other day. So I'm a bit scared for the corgis, but they've had a good life, haven't they? They've had a good life. They're sort of saying like the dogs, you know, Nicholas Witchell said about the dogs, didn't he? I did mention this on the Doug Stanhope one, that he said that they didn't know the status of their owner and they still respected, despite not knowing us. I reckon those corgis probably looked around at the other dogs and thought something was going on. Then they go, that's fine. Why are none of the other dogs living in a big castle? Eating the flesh of peasants. Pheasants. We will crack on. I'm obviously upset that an old lady has died. But hooray for long live King Charles III. Sounds made up, doesn't it? It doesn't sound. Well done to the prince. Are you upset? Are you upset about the queen dying, madam?
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm sorry to. I'm not having a go at the queen. I loved the queen as much as you. Good. Well, at least we've got a balance of opinion there. So it's, we've had a balance. She was an amazing. Right, let's crack on. My guest this week is not going to mention the Queen at all. I can guarantee you that. He's probably best known for the additional Vogan voices in the disappointing Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy movie, or as I call it, Hunk-tug. Will you please welcome the incredible Reese Shearsmith, ladies and gentlemen? Here he is. Reese Shearsmith. Reese Shearsmith.
I'm tired out.
Last on
normally
this,
in bed.
You're normally in bed, but yeah. Well, so am I. My at 10 o'clock, my watch will make a little sound, yeah. Which means it's bedtime.
Yeah. I've got one of them. Tells you to stand up, doesn't it?
Yeah. It does
tyranny tapping you all the time. You're not fucking moving.
Anyway. It's 10 years, pretty much to the day. Almost
10 years
since you were last here with Steve.
Nothing's happened.
Got nothing to
nothing
talk about.
Nothing has happened.
Nothing. You announced a little show that was going to come out called Inside Number 9. But then it never happened. It never came out.
I am sick of it. I am. You all just think, oh, when's the next one coming? Just think about when you watch one. You think, yeah, it's great, blah, blah, blah. Or it's shit, whatever you mostly say. It goes away, and then I am still thinking about it from the time you stop thinking about it and cast your eyes over it and say, oh, shit, shit, shit. It's losing it now. Well, that's quite a good one. Oh, I've done that one before. Not as good as Christine. Sheridan Smith one. I wasn't even fucking in the Sheridan Smith one. It's the best one, apparently. I've read a tweet the other day, it'd be really good if them two weren't in it.
Believe me, I get a lot of comments about me not being in this show. This show would be a lot better if Richard Herring wasn't in it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it would be weird. It would be...
At least let us be in it. Nobody else will have us. Anyway, yes.
We may talk about that more. I have ranked all of the 43 episodes.
Oh, fucking hell.
From worst to best. I'm going to start at the worst.
Ranking, yes.
It's nice that people rank them.
Oh, shut up. Have you just come out to make my hypertension work?
Well, let's see
I've got a medical tomorrow for the next series of Under Nine. If we carry on at this rate, I will not pass it. Very high blood pressure. It was high last time. It's because the doctor, he was like, oh, your blood pressure is very high. It's because he was new and I thought, is it going to be a proper... Normally, the TV medicals, you just in your ears... check your heart, and you're all right, and off you go. This was like proper undress, please. I was like, sorry, what? Yes, behind the... And I thought, oh, my God, it's a proper one. So my blood pressure went through the roof, thinking, is it going to be... What's he going to find? And he was like, your blood pressure is very high. I'm going to go out the room. Just relax. I'm going to go out the room. I won't tell you when I'm going to come back. As if that's going to fucking... What? I think it's like doing the Mike Lee where he leaves the room and then you've got to do an improv and he creeps back in and watches you from the corner. Anyway, sorry. I'm babbling.
It's good. It's all, it is, you know, and then that could be a new number nine. So that's fine. That's going to be a new number.
Yes. Oh, good. Why don't you do a number nine bus? All right, cunt, what happened? Anybody could put a nine on a fucking building. That's not the thing of it.
Why don't you do one inside just a giant number nine, like a number nine with a door on it, and then you're just inside.
Yeah. And occasionally just look out and go, all right. We're in the inside number nine. That's the last one that we ever do.
So, look, let's talk about... Let's get this out of the way, because this is why you're here.
Right, oh,
Let's talk about... I mean, it's really good. A new British film that I have seen called See How They Run, which you play the character of John Wolfe, who is a real person...
He was a real person, yeah. I think we're not making much of the... It's not nothing that he did really has any consequence in the film. But there is a little element of it because he was a real-life producer. He produced The African Queen and Oliver! Oliver. And he is... I think he genuinely tried to get the rights of The Mousetrap and it never closed, ever. And it was the stipulation of once it's been closed for 6 months, then you can make the film version.
Right.
And it was on for 75 years. It's still on now. So he never gets to do it. And that's my sort of trajectory as to why he might be a suspect in this very classic murder mystery. It's like Clue or, you know, or what are the other ones? I don't really know. Well, like all the Mousetrap, in fact.
Yeah, it's like the it's you know the idea of a murder happening on the stage of the Mousetrap or the backstage at the Mousetrap.
Yes.
So it's a neat idea, one that is nodded to, which has been explored before by Tom Stoppard. But there's nods to Tom Stoppard.
There are, aren't there? Yes, that was with his character, Sam Rockwell's character, Stoppard. Well, that's Saoirse Ronan's character, isn't it? I don't know the name. I didn't really.
If he didn't, I think you were right the first time.
If I was not directly involved with them, I don't know that I'd never bothered to learn the names. And I had a couple of scenes, but I just learned the character names, and then these people apparently were very famous. No, they were lovely, actually. I was very nervous. I was like, I'd won a competition. I couldn't believe I was asked to just be in this film. Offered, not audition.
That's good.
Just asked, want to do that? Yeah, go on then. So I did it, and it was February 2021, so it was lockdown two. And just asked to go and do this film. It was nice. It was like, wow. Felt like a ray of hope because we hadn't really done... I'd done Ben Wheatley's film the year before in proper COVID, lockdown one. That was the main one, wasn't it? And that was scary because that felt like properly like what we're doing going out. But that was exciting. But yeah, this was a great... I think it's... Apparently, it's number one at the box office this week. It's done very well. So I'm delighted for it. It's good. It's a fun film. It's very snappy and... Like you say, it almost feels like it could be longer, doesn't it?
I think
you
could be longer.
You breeze through it.
I think it's, you know, I was surprised when it was over, I have to say, and I was enjoying it, and that's, you know, I thought...
I mean, that never happens, does it?
I would like a couple... You know, it does, I usually watch films go, when can I go home?
When can I go another wee?
And I did need a wee, but I still... unlike when I went to see Death of Stalin, I went for a wee during Death of Stalin, and Armando Iannucci saw me going for a wee, and then brought it up on the podcast. Like, as if, like, I thought I needed a wee. You gave me some free beer before the show. So I needed a wee. I was sitting next to Right Said Fred. I was confused. It was like Stalin on one side, Right Said Fred on the other.
Oh, God.
But no, it's very enjoyable. I love, all the performances are great. I love the actress whose name is Ronan.
Yes,
She's fantastic.
As I was filming that, my bake-off went out, which I won.
Wow. Spoilers.
And so she watched the spoilers, yeah. I mean, it was going to go about. Oh, I know what happens on this one. Oh, fucking hell, someone's told me that he loses it. Apparently, he loses the technical, but he gets the handshake. I did get the handshake. That was quite something. I was shocked.
Wow.
It was actually exhausting doing that. You've done this type of thing, haven't you?
I haven't done that one. I've done Taskmaster.
Yes. Did you win it?
I did. I won the Champion of Champions. Spoilers.
I found it exhausting because it was over 2 days, and it's just you're on all the time. I'm not used to being me, and this is really a painful thing to... This isn't me. I am miserable, cunt. But the version of that you've got to constantly spin the plate, but you're just trying to be funny all the time or do something, because you just feel compelled to, because every guest has got 5 cameras on them.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Anything you do is when you finally go, oh, I can't be fucking, can't keep it up any longer. That's the bit they'll use when you just slumped. They did. I sat down in the end. I was like, you know what, I can't do it anymore. And that was like a bit they used. I was like, this is what you're after. You're trying to grind me down. And then to see the reality of the miserable husk underneath. But I won it, so who cares?
Yeah. And Shisha saw you win it.
She won it, and she was texted me on that night. Yes, okay. I remember it very well, yeah.
Oh. Nice. Well, it's an amazing cast, and that's what it feels like. I felt there could have been more of your character in there.
Yeah, I think so. Yes. Well, there was a lot actually. That I had a bigger. I can see why it's been cut because it sort of streamlines the film. But I had a sort of whole other plot that was being completely removed that wasn't really necessary actually for right. the. I think I get as much of screen time as all the other possible suspects.
Yes.
And I think maybe I had more than that initially. So right. I don't mind. It's brilliant to be part of a thing like that.
It's such a strong cast, and it is, you know, it's a really fun British film, and that you can't say that often, can you?
No.
It looks like it's going to be a success.
It might be, yeah. Who knows? I mean, it's funny, isn't it? I don't think I went to see, I was saying to Sally, I went to see Nope. There's only 4 people in it. I thought, this is ridiculous, the cinema.
Yeah.
And it's not come back, cinema, in the way that everyone thought theatre wouldn't come back, but look at you, you're all out, don't care less, no masks. but it's not gone away, you know. Cinema hasn't come back.
No.
It's scary to me. But, you know, I don't mingle with people, so it's all right for me. I'm all right.
And what was interesting at the screening I went to see, that most of the actors showed up, so that must be a sign that it's... that you're quite pleased with it, right? You can make an excuse not to go along.
Yeah, of course, yeah. I mean, it's nice when... It's a funny thing. It feels a long time ago now. All the British ones turned up, didn't they? I mean, yeah. I don't think Sam Rockwell turned up, but, you know, he'll probably do this in America in a week's time. I think, I'll probably go to that.
Right.
He was lovely. I got on very well with him. And Adrian Brody, the big hitters where you think they'll be scary and maybe aloof or anything. Absolute opposite. I suppose they've got nothing to prove, have they? Yeah, they are who they are.
Yeah, and, but it's interesting that, you know, you're an award-winning actor and you... And
who knows me? None of these know me.
They do.
This is just the second half. They had Sally and then now... Who is it? So is it Malcolm McDowell in Time After Time? I'm going back to 1886 after this. Got my time machine.
Well, you know...
I've just chased the Ripper into the modern times. Found a bag of knives in the back.
Do you feel... But you've always had this... a slight complex about success and about whether you're recognised enough and about whether people look down on sketch show actors.
Yes.
But, you absolutely hold your own in that film, more than hold your own.
Well, you're very kind. I do think that. I mean, I think I'm a bit like you where I attribute any idea to I invented it. I think we're similar in that way. I see anything that has a I've not watched it, so please no one mention it. You just did, but you didn't. I stopped you in your tracks. Only Murders in the Building, which I'm excited to see, but I read somewhere, they do a whole silence episode. And I thought, we fucking thought of that. We invented silent comedy. Yeah, copied off us. But when you've done 43 pilots, as I like to call them, a lifetime of ideas burnt away and left leaving us with nothing else. I saw another tweet the other day. I think they should do something else now. Every week is fucking something else. what do you think is happening? Do something else. I am genuinely furious about it. If I could get these people.
Do you ever respond to these people?
Yes.
Yeah. I always do.
I can't help it. Because then you're not allowed to, because of course you have the power and you're sending your trolls and your minions. Fuck off. Yeah. I'm the person in the world. I have every right. Anyway. And then I have them for £3,000 quietly killed. And no one ever knows it was me. Because I never knew them, and I do it via someone else. So I have no connection to them. I shouldn't have said that.
That was the giveaway.
This bit can be cut out.
Well, cut that bit out, that's fun. None of these people will say. Well, let's talk a little bit about Inside Number 9. I mean, we could talk a lot about Inside Number 9, but I've picked out a few of my... If I was ranking them... these are some of the... Some of the more... Well, I was interested to see that you... I wanted to talk about the Mr. King episode, but I was interested to see that you own a piece of the Wicker Man, the original Wicker
Man. I do! In League of Gentlemen days, we toured, and we used to get quite strange items sent and to the theatres that we would arrive at. One time, I got a piece of... Well, first of all, there was three dolls. It was all a bit witchy-poo. It was like someone was trying to put a curse on us, but we had three dolls of ourselves made, me, Mark and Steve. I think I was the salmon of knowledge. If you know your Wicker Man, you'll know what I'm talking about. And then a piece of the Wicker Man. It's just a tiny box with a bit of wood in it. It's probably just a fucking lolly stick. But I like to think... Anyway, I've got a conclusion to it. And it said left leg underneath. And it's a bit snapped off the final bit on the island of the Wicker Man's left leg.
Right.
And whether it is or whether it isn't, I then was invited by my friend, John Landis, film director. Friend... So maybe I am allowed to be in that film. It's not like I won a competition. I actually deserve a place. Anyway, so John invited me to lunch with Sir Christopher Lee.
Wow.
Couldn't believe it. So I went, and it was in a very posh restaurant, and John rang me up and said, I'm going to be 10 minutes late. Just go to Chris. I said, oh, what? I can't wander up to Christopher Lee. Ah, yeah. You're having lunch with me. Me and John, I know him.
Oh, right, I didn't realise. Where are we sitting?
So anyway, I had to do that, and that was ludicrous. And then we sat with him, and he was waiting. John finally arrives. And John's very cheeky with him, because Christopher Lee, in his later years, famously, it was like he never done a horror film. I've never done a terror film. Oh, you have, Chris. You might not remember, but you were Dracula. Frankenstein. But John was very good, and he was able to eke out of him stories about being in these terror films, as he claimed. In the later years, he was like, I've only ever sang opera. That's what he seemed to be. Anyway, so I don't know why, it was pathetically sort of nerdy, but I took the piece of the Wicker Man. I finally got it out of bed. I thought, this is my moment. And I got it out of my pocket. And I said, Sir Lee, this is apparently, I told him the story of it, and he said, let me see. He took it. Do you have a pen? And I got a pen, and he wrote on, and wrote on the back of it, Dear Reese, this is genuine. Christopher Lee. And so, to me, that's now... It didn't matter whether it's genuine or not, because it's like Lord Summerisle himself signed it. So
that does count. It's like, well, if you found one of these signed, it would be impressive, but there's a lot of Jesus' foreskins knocking around in the medieval times. If you get, this was mine!
Exactly, yeah. So, no, well, it was an amazing memory to have.
These are the more recent shows, but Mr. King really sticks in the mind. I mean, partly we get to see your lovely bottom...
Yeah, I know. Again, I mean, what's happening? I don't know what... I mean, I return... You know, we write these things in a room in Muswell Hill and I don't think about them for 10 months and it comes to filming them and then I've got to learn it. I go back to these scripts and go, I fucking wrote this. I have my arse out again. It's old now. It need not be seen.
And Steve's taking pictures at the front.
At the front, yeah.
So were you covered from Steve?
Yes, I had one of them horrible pouch, yeah, and pulled right up the... Yeah. And then at the end of the shoot, he had to take Polaroid after Polaroid of the close-up package. And at the end, very, very graciously, he handed me them quite solemnly in an envelope and said, these are all of the photographs. I thought, yeah, I fucking hope they are. Keeping one back. Anyway, yes, so... I've still got them. That's a sort of an eBay type. Just eat them out one by one.
It would be nice. It's surprising that it took you so long to do a
Wicker Man. Yeah, yeah, it was. I mean, it's spoiler alert, but yes, it's a whole riff on the Wicker Man. You know, we knew that people. We imagined immediately that it's the reveal happens. So, tweets Wicker Man. Anyone? Of course, it fucking is. Wicker Man. Anyone? We hate the people that like it. For your own sakes, don't like it. If I had my way, I would make them and put them in the safe and never show them to anybody. Just be satisfied that they exist and I did it and that's that. But yes.
Yeah, so. It's pretty... I mean, it's a pretty horrific image at the end of that episode, the everything that's going on. It's
yes.
Because you combine lots... There's kids being horrible, which is great. There's
children being...
Masks.
They're gluing my lips together with super glue.
That is nasty.
There was an earlier draft when they did the eyelids as well.
Ooh.
Which Adam Tandy, our producer, we I think it's enough with the lips. Yes.
The old... I could have done the... I was going to call it the Jap side, then I realised I'm not allowed to do that anymore. I'm not allowed to do that anymore. The herring's eye, I tried to rename it. In my book, Talking
Comics. You did.
But it hasn't caught on. I think I know. Would you like that? The Reese's eye? The Shear Smith eye?
Yeah. It's not just catchy.
Herring's eye sounds. Yes. There's something fishy about it, isn't it? Looks like it does look like so, anyway. Yeah, that was what I love about it, even if there's one that you don't like.
Sorry.
Or you're not as keen on.
Yeah. Fair enough. I mean, of course. I understand. I mean, it's the nature of it that there'd be some that are not your taste. But they're not rubbish. I don't think... I mean, obviously, I would say this. Like, we toil over every script like it's good. You know, we don't write the dud ones. Where's the dud one for this week? Yeah, three duds and it's hit and miss, isn't it? Anyway, yes.
And were you writing these series over lockdown? So you were writing these remotely with
Yes, we were. It was interesting. We'd never done that. I mean, we're always literally always in the room together writing them. And lockdown happened and we knew we had series 6, I think, to write. So we wrote it remotely, yeah. Oh, no, it was Simon Says, the one about fandom, was the one that we wrote first.
Where'd you get that crazy remotely? Idea
I don't know. The entitlement of fans having opinions that differ from the creator and how the creator eventually kills the fan. Yes, no, I don't know where it came from. It was occasionally passes through my mind. But I think it was a real thing, wasn't it? I never watched any of Game of Thrones. Apparently that's a thing, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But it was... that, wasn't it, when fans were very cross with the ending and wanted to petition, like, crowdfund a new ending. As if what world are you in? Of course that's not going to happen, you silly cunts. Mentally ill. Proper help needed. The main section, two doctors... Follow me, please. Here's a pillow. Not to kill them. Lay their head down and go to sleep.
And we alluded backstage to public information films in our little chat, yes. But I think it was the final episode, was it?
Wise Owl. I mean, that was horrible. I mean, we haven't done a funny one for about 10 years. We wrote that one. I mean, it's horrific. And I think the good thing about it is it doesn't end with what you might expect. An Inside Number 9 ending would have been that my character ends up stuffing the dad, not in any sort of taxiderming the dad. And that would have been a very sort of Tales of the Unexpected first route idea. But we thought it's more powerful that he grapples with the abuse and he walks away the bigger man, quite literally, and grows in the end. And that was all the director's idea. She said, if we're going to have these animations, can we have Ronnie leave the house a child? And as he walks away, having confronted his dad, he literally grows into a man, and we thought that's very bold and powerful. So it was good, but a lot of people liked it. I was a bit scared of whether people would just think, well, it's just not funny anymore. But I think we've sort of earned the right. It's 8 series in now. We're about to start filming series 8. That it doesn't always... I think if it's good, no one really minds what it is, I think. And we've... A lot of the work is trying to inject some humour into it.
Yeah.
But mostly, all of it is about... storytelling and plot and a narrative that hooks you in.
Yeah,
there's so much storytelling in it, and you don't get it a lot in telly. I mean, you really, again, I'm saying I'm better than most other writers, but I watch these dramas on BBC, and it's like 3 episodes, 3 1-hours before anything fucking happens. Setting them up. I mean, imagine the oceans of time that you've got to go here and there. We can never go outside. Interior all the time. Imagine the luxury of writing exterior. And going somewhere else for a change. Maybe we should do one on a fucking bus.
I suppose both those episodes I mentioned have a very strong visual element, an artistic element to them. You've worked.
It's interesting that, because that was the same director did both of those that you've picked out. Yeah, Louise. Yeah.
But how much are you involved in that? Because I know you used to make props and be involved in making.
Yes. Well, I've always drawn a lot of... I like art. I'm not as good as I used to be, but I do a lot of doodling and drawing, and so I've often drawn ideas for the looks of the characters. In fact, Wise Owl is a bit of trivia. People probably might know it, but it appeared originally, incarnation of Wise Owl was in our League of Gentlemen scrapbook very early on. It was a picture of a man, a naked fat man with an owl head on, just peeping through a door and saying, Wise Owl comes to visit me in the night. And it was like Daffy Dads. It was as funny as you lot are finding it now. And that was it. And that image has always stuck with us. So we thought, what could be more horrific than sort of like through the guy? But then we hit upon the idea of what a strange, tumultuous thing to have to unravel, that the voice of this public information film of doing everything right is also an abuser of...
Yeah, I mean, it couldn't happen in real life. That's the fortunate... Was there any public information films that weren't done by celebrities who then got caught out?
In the
70s. The Rolf Harris is the one, and I still quote it all the time.
Going, it's always the toe.
Somehow I managed to scramble my way to the bank. Couldn't swim. Frightened the wits out of my mum and dad. I can still, like, remember it.
It was like something... The toes was horrible anyway, but then it was like, because they did a little wiggle, it was like, is he going to do something with the toes?
Get him.
Underwater.
Get him, get him. They'll get him at the end of the, get him.
Oh, that's right, and they all get him, don't
they? Yeah, they do.
Yeah, it's horrific, yeah.
So it's, you know, it's...
That might stop me going and ever learning how to swim. I can't swim. I went recently, my bag is from Heligan. I went to Cornwall.
Yeah.
And, recently there, and it was like, you know, in the 80s when they had Masquerade where you got to find the hair.
I do.
It was a game of find a beach not covered in shit. It was awful, and I was in the sea. Imagine this image, never mind my bum in that Wise Owl, in a surfing.
Yep.
You bet you'd never believe that in a million years, would you? I look like a time traveller now, but I was in a wetsuit surfing, and it was like Jaws. Shit. A rolling Todd, we call them Todds in Hull, rolling onto the beach, disintegrating. with blood in it. And here I am in a wetsuit just with a little boogie board. It's awful. It ruined the holiday. I went and had a cream tea. Come on, we're going.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
I'll mention a couple more number nines and then we'll move onwards. Maybe not.
What ones don't you like?
I'm not a massive fan of the 12 Days of Christmas.
Well, good. I'm glad it's not that good. It's not that good. It's fine.
I didn't like the Commedia d'arte one. I didn't understand it.
No, well, yeah, neither did I.
I very much. This is interesting, this episode, for both of us. The Bernie Clifton's dressing room, I think, it's interesting because is it the only one that it's just the two of you?
Sean Clifford is in at the end, but generally that was written because we had never done one where it was us two, yeah. So yeah. We thought, let's try and do a two-hander. We didn't know what to do it about, and we thought maybe a comedy is do a sort of Sunshine Boys type thing.
Yeah.
So it's good. It's very, again, it's... It slightly surprises you because it's quite moving, mm-hmm. and that's, you know, I don't think you're expecting it of us, and so it was. We found the response to it greater than we imagined. We thought it was good, but we didn't know it would really affect a lot of people. People really saw, and a lot of people in the industry, like Bernie Clifton, he said, "I was trepidatious at first, but why my name was in the title, and what are you going to do in my dressing room?" But he was nice. Yeah, we got the initial idea. It was. Remember Big Brother when Jim Davison was on it?
Yeah.
And one of the Nolans. And he devilishly was asking, he said, ask. It was Frank Carson's dressing room, wasn't it? And he kept saying to devilishly, because he knew something had gone on, to I don't know which Nolan, ask him about Frank Carson's dressing room. How dare you? And this thing was like, and it went on and on, this Frank Carson's dressing room. We just thought that's such a funny mystery that he's just dropped into the conversation. We didn't know what. I think he'd stolen some money or something, or a husband or something.
Oh yeah, there was something like that.
Something like that. But we just thought, oh well, let's do this thing where you're wondering what happened in Bernie Clifton's dressing room. And we did a bit of a reversal where he thought I was the horrible one, and actually I'd sort of saved his life because I knew that he couldn't get more famous because he would kill himself. So it was a sweet one, yeah.
Yeah, it was sweet. And I knew, but also, I mean, you're not exactly in a double act, but you sort of are in a double. I mean, it's not like
Yeah, it's funny that, isn't it? Yeah, that we now are, I think, people might think we are a double act. Yeah. I mean, I hate him.
that's
I have nothing to do with him.
That's part of the deal with a double act.
Yeah, I guess
I don't trust
any
of these double acts where people like each other.
Yeah. As just like the Abbott and Costello.
Yeah.
No, we get on very well, and because it's been all right, and we've done it, and we are, it's on, and they keep recommissioning it, and same with League. People always used to ask us, "Do you argue? Did you used to argue?" And no, because it was going all right, we were doing it. So I think had it been fractious, and that would have only happened had it we'd not been successful, or it wasn't working out.
Sure, and I guess you know it's the right timing for that show as well, because we sort of are at the point where. We had Paul Chuckle on the other day, and it's kind of, you know, it's sort of that. There is a real deep sadness. He's pushing onwards, and good luck to him, and he's a great guy. But, you know, there's that, especially with that one, because obviously they're brothers as well. But, you know, when one goes and the other one carries on, and that's happened, you know, basically all of them, one of them's dying.
Of course, yeah. I remember one horrific BFI we were at one time. Someone put their hand up, just toddling away quite jolly like this, and then someone said, and I went, yes, girl with the glasses. Which one is going to die first? What are you fucking what? And there's an example of people not realising that you're real. Because it was such an abstract thing to them, like, oh, that one's dying. I think it was nice, not the best one, but... And that's what it'll be like. We always have this joke at the end of the news when someone has died, and then you'll just say... Richie Smith, who died today. And now the weather. It's just thrown away your whole life. Richie Smith, who died today. And now, Richie Chakrabarty with the weather. And that's what it'd be like, even if I'm on the 10 o'clock. I won't be.
Oh, you'll be on that. No. Do you think your obituary photo has been taken already? That's an emergency question.
Yes.
Do you think, or is it yet to come?
Well, I wonder which one it will be. It'll be with some... that will already been picked out, won't it?
Yeah.
It's this creepy thought. Yeah.
It's hard, though, because, you know, that again, when someone's done so many different things, it's hard to... It's like when someone's completely associated with just one
choose
character.
One thing. Sir Michael Horden. Me and Mark always famously talk about Michael Horden, who was obviously illustrious career, everything. When he dies, Paddington Bear Man dies. He did the voice of the original Paddington Bear.
You could be that because you did the voice of Mr. Curry.
I was Mr. Curry in there, yeah.
Cartoon, so yeah. You know, you could be. Would you be upset?
Paddington Bear Man dies.
Paddington Bear Man dies.
Right, this voice of the curmudgeon Mr. Curry who died today.
I might be the Paddington Bear Man because I'm just going around the Buckingham Palace just nicking all the Paddington Bears. So Paddington Bear Man dies.
Going through the
sand. He wasn't a good guy.
Taking all the sandwiches.
Yeah. Very nice. Look, you've done at least one exterior one, which I also loved, which was Merrily Merrily.
Yeah, that was sort of... We didn't write it for Mark, but he begged us to be in it. So. Didn't get asked to be put in Sherlock, though, did we? Why wasn't I my fucking Moriarty? Anyway, that's just occurred to me now, that. I am joking, of course. We love him. And it was great to have him because it did make it. We had written this thing of talking about this reunion and these people that were at uni together and walks around the lake. And it was Bretton Hall where we went, so... It was absolutely fitting that it should be Mark, and he was free and he wanted to do it, so that was great. Yeah.
No, it's nice to see you guys together. You did do the tour together.
Yeah.
Since I've last seen you.
That was good. Yeah. That was an amazing reaction to characters that nearly 20 years on.
Yeah.
It was such love in the room for. It was like they'd been waiting their whole lives for them to come back. It was very moving actually, because you know there were extreme characters at the time, but we were. I thought we'd get like one or two theatres sold out. And it was arenas. It literally did O2 for two nights. I genuinely couldn't believe it. It's never gone away for some people. People really like that world and those characters. And I think they invest a lot in them. Because we wanted to treat them as characters and things and their stories. And they sort of became bigger than their sketches. Yeah. You know, they became like real people to the fans.
Well, I think it was such an extraordinary series, and I think like so many. I was talking to Sally about this in 3 weeks' time. That that, you know, there were so many people, there were so many attempts to do sketch shows throughout the 90s, and we attempted them, and, you know, and they were all, it felt like a few things. I think Spaced, and which you were also involved with, and Legal Gentlemen sort of did bring a whole new, you know, you managed to be the ones to reinvent the sketch show, I think, into something.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it didn't feel like it was a big revelation or anything, but it was the fact that we housed them in a supposed one place.
You know?
And Royston Vasey and that idea of that horrible town became bigger than the sum of its parts, really, because it was just sketches, but not just blackout next one. You know, it felt like there was, and my character of Benjamin took you through the world, and you sort of began to feel like this place is, imagine stumbling into this place with all these weird characters. But it was a sort of in embryo on the radio, where Royston Vasey was Spent, which is sort of the idea of it being a shithole northern town. And so, yeah, we just took that and we thought... And there was lots of questions about how we would do it. We thought we'd be... We couldn't imagine that we would transpose it from stage, where it began, onto the TV without having... I mean, there was one point where it was going to be like Three of a Kind and we were going to be in the tuxedos, and it was it was TV-based, studio-based,
yeah.
Five cameras. And then we thought, actually, I think it'd be better if it's real, if it feels like... Well, yes, it's Steve dressed up as a woman, but Pauline is inhabiting a restart room that feels as real and as grubby as a Mike Lee. And that filmic quality was what we wanted to sort of have you feel. And give it the time to breathe. It wasn't always about gag, gag, gag. It felt like we wanted the air in it. There's a very interesting... on Holy Grail DVD. You don't get DVDs anymore, but if you know... Some of you might remember them. And the commentary on it, it's got... Cleese on one, I think it's got Gilliam on another, at different times they've done different commentaries.
Right.
And Gilliam's talking about the brilliant shots he did of the castles and everything as the moat, the boats arriving on these big vistas. And then Cleese, on the same bit when he's doing his commentary, look at that, not a laugh in it. And I thought, there in a nutshell is their eyes, you know, and how what matters to them. But we wanted that sort of the time to breathe and have a car going across a landscape and not worry that, where's the gag, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of... Did you have time to... When you were at the O2, did you have time to sort of reflect on the journey that you'd taken? Was it the Canal Cafe?
Yes, I remember we were literally on the O2 and about to start, and we remembered our... Above the bridge, the Canal Cafe Theatre. 20 people and the smell of garlic breads and Avalon coming in and not taking us and, you know, that very early Edinburgh. I mean, the Edinburgh 96 when we first went was the best time. It's never got better than that because it was the time when it wasn't just our friends watching it and it felt like such a revelation that it was apparently, because these people needn't laugh, were finding it funny. And it was like, it's not just out of kindness that our friends are coming back and back, because we would do every Monday night for months and hone and change it, and it was sort of the League of Gentlemen TV series and their stories in embryo on stage. So you'd come back the next week and you'd have a next Pauline sketch, and then we made the best ofs, the bits that went down best, our first Edinburgh, and that the reaction to that and the five stars in the Scotsman in the Pleasance Attic, it's never got better than that. It's depressing.
I think it's hard, but it is hard to beat those. You know, something like that where something really gels. I mean, the fact that you did different stuff every week is what made it special, because most people would have just taken a stand-up show and, you know, probably not even rehearsed it that much at that stage. But to go back and really work at something, which we certainly didn't do with our sketch show, The Dumb Show, which we just kind of threw together at the last minute. But you were up in Edinburgh this year.
I went, yes.
Yeah.
That was interesting. Yeah, it was very... I was walking around looking for posters with League of Gentlemen meets... What are you looking... It's like looking for Tommy Trinder. Some very old, obscure act. I thought, oh, yeah, no, we are nearly 30 years old. Why would there be League of Gentlemen on any of these posters? So it was... Yeah, it was great. I went and saw Tim Key. He was great.
Yes.
And a few other theatre shows. But it was all very slick. It didn't feel like the Edinburgh where we went in Jeremy's Mini and had pieces of A4 and we were flyleafing the Royal Mile with. When we did our show, it was 5:25 in the Pleasance Attic, And our flyleaf wasn't for League of Gentlemen, it was for Everybody Out, the Legs Akimbo play. So it was, like, come and see this play about issue basing, it was Ollie Plimsoll's flyer. So it was a bit of a meta, even within itself, it was a bit, because you might go, I don't want to see an issue based children's play about homosexuality, you know, 520. So, but the whole thing was a joke because the League of Gentlemen in itself was a sort of trick into making you think it might be an Oxbridge type thing, and then you get this very blackly comic, not that northern people doing quite horrible. It's never been better than on stage, really, because it would be so delicious to do the sketches that became so horrible and hear the audience petering out in discomfort. And then break it with a laugh, and that was always the sort of best incarnation of it, I think.
Yeah. Well, you know...
I mean, the TV was good as well.
You know, I think we talked about it last time, it was 10 years ago, but, you know, I think the film was absolutely fantastic and didn't get the credit.
Oh, thank you, yeah. I remember seeing there was a screening of it, the BFI, and Terry Jones came up to me at the end and he said he really liked it, and that meant a lot.
Yeah, that's
great. I think now it might be a bit of a curate's egg. We were trying to have all our cakes and eat it a bit, but we were just fully aware of what it's like to do a spin-off film, and so we sort of within it tried to talk about that, the nature of spin-off films, you know, where the characters themselves are suggesting ideas for the film and saying we all go on holiday to Spain, you know, we were doing all the classic 70s versions of the films.
Yeah,
but it was all right. It maybe came slightly too late in retrospect. I think we'd already hit our, and we're going down again, you know. We were over.
You never, you know, it's so hard to know, isn't it? It's hard to know why one thing works. I'm going to ask you the most question just because I don't think we really did any 10 years ago. Well, not very many. But also, I don't think this one was out then. And I want to know your answer. If you were to be put into a human centipede, but you're in the middle and the mad professor putting you together, scientist, decides you can choose who's in front of you and who's behind you.
Oh, no!
And let's say it's not the other League of Gentlemen. Who would you like to see in front of you and behind you? You must have thought of it.
Oh, God, okay. In front, Christopher Lee. And behind, John Landis.
Have you done a centipede? Inside number 9? That's got to be it. On a bus? It's on a bus.
It's the human upstairs.
The human centipede just managed to escape the laboratory.
Have they got up there? Oh, they've got up the stairs. Just very slowly.
They've got to hide from the
coordinated. Right, you ready? I'm on the first step. We're going forward now. Too fast, too fast. What a horrible film that is, isn't it?
I can't watch something like that. That's too much.
Oh, I've seen all of them.
Have you? I've never seen Saw. Never seen.
Yes. Well, I've got. I mean, you know, I love horror, and I'm increasingly squeamish about the things you see in them.
I've got much worse.
Have you?
But I was always pretty bad. But I can't stand it. You know, I don't know how I watch any of your stuff. I can't stand, but it's when it's really graphic, which I guess your last Ben Wheatley film, which I didn't see, was pretty
that
graphic
was
by the looks of it. I saw a fish hook going into something.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see, that's not like a clip that you normally see. You sort it out. I was quite horrible in the scene with Joel Fry's foot. I did a sort of operation on his foot, chopped some toes off. I mean, what's funny, blackly comic, is that I'm telling him to brace himself, and I've got the axe, and I'm missing. All right, after three, are you ready? And it's just like, doom, and it's just, oh, and he's like, all right, you've got to keep still. So it was that sort of vibe to it.
Yeah.
And then I finally chop into his toes, and a few come on. And that's on you, that. Like, it was his fault. Like, you moved! Anyway, yeah, it was great. It was very horrible to watch, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last good horror film I watched, actually. Or film. I went to see Everything Everywhere All at Once. I like that.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
It's good. Sort of remarkable, really. Yeah, it's a great film. I'm looking forward to Halloween Ends with Jamie Lee. I didn't like Halloween Kills, I have to say. Evil dies tonight. Evil dies tonight. It was stupid. Babyish, I thought.
I mean, I was going to ask if you feel you have to watch everything, but you kind of like to watch everything still, do you?
Yeah, yeah. I really liked Scream, the new Scream from last, Scream 5, as it is known. I'm very looking forward to the next one, yeah. But a lot of things pass me by, so I don't watch everything.
Right.
Don't go out. I genuinely don't. I'm a bit like Bob Mortimer-like in that way. Bob never goes anywhere.
No.
But we just stay in. You meet up with
Bob, right? You and...
I meet up with Bob and Matt Berry.
Matt Berry, yeah.
Yeah, and we have, when he does come out,
yeah.
And we have the Gossip Club, where we talk about everybody. And various, we talk about the lucky table, who's at the lucky table. It's very mean, but it's good fun.
And then do you look in the mirror and realise it's you three?
Yeah.
I mean, not really lucky. Because,
we've never talked about you in any capacity. So that's good. Come on.
That's how I like it. That's how I like it.
See, exactly, yeah. Not on the radar. No one, the forefront of anyone's mind. Toddling along.
I'm happy. Yeah. You're doing a show I noticed on IMDb called On the Trail of Stan and Ollie.
That's been and gone.
Okay.
That was a. I did a talking head about it when it was about Lauren Hardy.
Okay.
Yeah,
you know they're dead. Because
what?
You're not going to find them, is all I'm going to say.
Not on the trail of. I see, yes. I just did Stephen Moffat's new play in Chichester.
Yes,
good in the summer. That was fun. With. Thank you. Why are you clapping? Have you seen it? Do you watch it?
You seen
Someone
it?
Saw it? Yes.
You have to say it's good or he'll get upset. Yeah. Was it good?
Why would you think anything you might say might upset me or am I a slightly angry person? What have I done to betray that? Anyway, yes, so that was great fun to do that. So,
yeah. Is that going to go on?
Wondering if it will. Yeah, not heard yet, but fingers crossed. Because that would be great to do again. I would like to do that again.
Yeah.
It was good fun. It was a very funny play.
You were in a Lucy Prebble play as well. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah,
she writes
she's great.
Succession, amongst other things. But it's a fantastic play, right?
Played Putin.
Did you play Putin, yeah?
Yeah. I felt terrifying doing that. I mean, good God, are there stories I could tell you about that? Shall I tell you?
Yeah. It's a basic idea. It's not. I don't know if you got the idea of this. It's very helpful.
No, but some things, you know, with as many stories, this might not be of interest, but it is.
We'll just cut them out.
Yeah, of course. You're not going anywhere, are you? so doing this Lucy Prebble play is about the... It's very serious now to try and make you all stop laughing. The poisoning of Alexander Litvinenko, and I was asked to play the president, not daring even to call it. And we had meetings with MI5 about the seriousness of doing this play, and you will all be being bugged now. So if you're going to talk to each other, make sure you use encrypted, don't use WhatsApp. I was like, sorry, what? Oh, yeah, he'll know about this. And I was like, I'm just an actor, dear. What are you talking about? Now a red flag has gone up somewhere in Russia. I'm going to get got by. And I genuinely was frightened for the duration. There was strict sort of security around the old Vic. It was terrifying.
Right.
But so we did this play, and it was all very, very frightening to do that. I did genuinely just think for a few weeks afterwards, felt like I was a marked man.
Yeah.
But it was a very happy time, a very good company,
yeah.
And very good play.
The thing with Putin is he bides his time, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He doesn't.
I just got over it. But you're right, he waits fucking years, doesn't he?
There's quite a lot of world leaders at the moment who, like, would have been better if they'd been comedians, right? They've got the same personality as comedians, but they've become horrible fascist
Absolutely,
dictators.
Absolutely, yes.
They've got the same self-confidence, the same that they don't like any criticism. I'm not thinking of you, Reece. You know who I'm thinking
of. Not?
I don't need to say who I'm thinking of. I mean, it's all of them, basically.
Yeah, any criticism. Or, you know, putting one against another. He's better than him, or whatever it might be.
Well, how is it with you getting nominated for BAFTAs and Steve not getting nominated for BAFTAs for acting, which feels...
Well,
like a weird choice to make. It should be together, shouldn't it? Can't they?
Should have been together. I didn't win it. Steve won it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we were both... I mean, obviously, he didn't give a fuck. He was pleased he got nominated and won it. But I didn't get nominated. I mean, I thought you could... But maybe I think it's only if you're Ant and Dec you can have the double. So we never had the double. They had to pick one. And I think it was for Bernie Clifton's dressing room when it was the...
Right.
He had the comedic part.
Yeah.
I had the actually the harder part and the bigger journey. And genuinely was better in it. But some people on a panel that day decided, naming no names, Omid Jalili on the panel. He was in Edinburgh in a queue. I nearly tapped him on the shoulder. Hey! Now then, I know you're going to go and see Tiger Lilies in a minute. You remember when you went on that BAFTA panel? Why did you pick Steve? I'd love to know. I'd love to know that. Yeah. I've been on those panels. I know what it's like, but I don't see how you could have thought. That's a funny one. And I'm not looking that side of the film. I'm just going to watch him. He's brilliant. Anyway, I'm not dwelling on it.
No, it's fine. Well, you're both fantastic. As you know, you're both fantastic.
So yeah, me slightly better.
Steve slightly edges it for me.
Steve slightly better. The range. He's got such range. He's fucking Pauline, the whole lot. It's Pauline. Pauline, 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 Pauline. He won't mind, he won't mind. He'll laugh.
How did you get on Celebrity Catchphrase?
Did I do it? I did do it, didn't I?
Yeah, well, apparently, according to IMDb, I thought that was an odd choice for you, but a lot of people have done it.
I didn't like...
I would do it if I was asked. I haven't been asked.
Would you do it?
Yeah, I do. I love doing quiz shows.
Do you?
Yeah, yeah. I'm
often asked, and I always say no.
Why did you say yes to Celebrity Catchphrase?
I don't know.
It's the worst one. It's definitely the worst one.
Is Warwick Davis?
No, that's tenable. That's Celebrity Catchphrases. You say what you see, but not
yes,
Roy Walker anymore.
I think it was charity, genuinely, because it was charity. I thought that's a good...
They're all for charity.
I know. It was hard, though. Yeah, your mind goes blank, I tell you. Steve's done all of them.
Right.
He's literally won. He's been on everyone and won all of them. Really clever chap. I don't know why we went. I think he persuaded me to go on it. I wouldn't want to go. We're always asked to go on jointly on Pointless, and I never dare do it. I just think I don't know something really obvious? You reveal your batting average of how thick you are. I'm thick. I really am.
Roy Walker.
It's not horror films. I don't know.
Roy Walker lives in the same village as me, and that's kind of really weird. You wouldn't think it.
Still alive.
I've seen him once.
Still alive.
Still alive. Well, he was alive when I saw him. I saw him on... I saw him actually on the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. It's the only time I've seen him.
It's good, but it's not right, that one.
It's that so weird. Someone said, you know, Roy Walker lives in this village. He moved in after me, I think. I've only been there for 5 years. And I said, no, not Roy Walker from Catch. What's he living here for?
Really?
Yeah.
He's like Mikey Arwood there as well, is he? Like...
I don't know.
Old people's play, where people go to retire. Used to be funny. Used to be in comedy. And now they're on a husk of the ship of comedy.
Yeah, must be. It's weird, isn't it, though? It's weird. Weird to... I find it very strange. Doctor, I have to talk about Doctor Who.
Yes.
I don't remember you being in Doctor Who.
No.
But you were in Doctor Who.
I was in Doctor Who. I was in a Doctor Who that no one liked.
Okay. Everyone says that.
Well, do they?
Yeah, a lot of people do say it.
Even Capaldi.
Yeah.
I was in one where, and it was, Peter was my doctor, and it was, Mark wrote it, and I really liked it. It was called Sleep No More, and it was all POV. It was like a found footage Doctor Who.
Oh,
so
yes.
It looks like no other Doctor Who, and I think people could not accept this style of filming. So I was sort of moral coward and had a good... sort of Weasley part in it, but yeah, I believe it's not liked. Interestingly, it was series 9, number 9. It was a weird link to it all. It's very strange, but I enjoyed doing it. It was great to be in Doctor Who. You invite a lot of interest. You get all of that
fandom.
Yeah.
I'm not on the trail of, you know, I know that then I apparently now should be able to turn up at conventions and put my arm around people and get £20 every time I do it. I'm waiting for someone to ask me. But no, apparently I've played a character that obviously no one remembers.
I remember because I was in an audio adventure on.
Yeah, in real time.
Is that the name of the company or was that the name? Yeah, yeah. Some fans. I was killed by a Cyberman in audio. It's quite hard to have your head crushed by a. I had to do some acting that day and imagine what would it be like if my head was being crushed by a Cyberman. Or a Spider-Man. Either way, I think it'd be the same sound.
Well, it's funny that I recently watched that Spider-Man. And it's just the three doctors, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Have they just stolen the idea of the incarnations and put them together?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. But every now and again someone will come with it. And there's a guy who had an amazing thing of cigarette cards from, like, the 60s or something, I would say. And then it added, like, two or three more frames around it. So it was this massive board.
Wow.
And it had the autographs, and we had to sign that. Have you ever signed that?
When I've in plays and they know where I'm going to be every night to come out,
yeah,
I sometimes get people with a bag of, and they've got a bag of Doctor Who things, yeah.
Right.
And they sign that, and do sign that character name, yeah. It's the completest thing, isn't it?
It is. I like it because they love something.
Yeah.
And they're not embarrassed about loving it.
They're very proud of loving it. I like it when people like things.
Yeah, me too. One day I'd have. Taskmaster fans are weirdly like that. There's a lot of sort of Taskmaster fans who want.
Do you think I'd be good on that?
I think you'd be fantastic. I don't know if you'd be good, but I think you'd be fantastic. But you'd have to have quite a thick skin or enjoy Greg Davis being very, very mean to you. And I'd love Greg Davis being very mean to me. But also,
I've got a thick skin.
But I think you would be, if you could throw yourself into it, you'd be amazing. I think you should, it's a big commitment.
Of course, is it? Yeah. How long does it take to do it?
Oh, and it's not that long, really. No, it's not a commitment compared to doing a film. It's like probably 3 days of filming then 5 days of filming. You know, so you need
I've been asked to do Strictly before.
Have you?
Yeah. And I would never do that. Imagine being told off by them cunts. Couldn't stand it. Sweating at the end of an endurance. Oh, thank you. No. Wow.
But you can move, you're a mover.
I know, I could do it, yeah.
Yeah, I could do it, you could win it.
I could do it, I could win it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not be like the comedy one, actually win it.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not going to do it. That'll show them.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, we can't keep it too much longer. It's been lovely to have you here again. Let's wait another 10 years before we have you back. We'll be here in 10 years. Which both of us will make it to 10 years?
Dead.
Which of us will die first? That's what we need the question. I think it's me.
Which one of you is going to die? I think I tried to find her on Twitter.
You've done some talks about Inside Number 9, right? You've done some question and answer sessions. There's been talk of you bringing it onto stage, but you haven't.
Talk of that. We want to do that.
Yeah.
Somehow, yeah. It's suited to it because they're all little theatrical plays, really. So what it would be, we want to make it so it's not just transposing the three of the TVs to, you know, reason to make it live.
Yeah, yeah.
And clever and with a twist. Oh, fucking hell. I'm just thinking about the fact I've got to do six more in 2 weeks' time and I'm already exhausted.
But it's weird, you know, we're saying backstage you haven't done a ventriloquist dummy one yet, and it's,
yes.
Which is like, feels like it's such an Inside Number 9, and I know why, because as you've said, it's.
Yeah, well,
you've
got to think of the thing that's not just the person's personality.
I would still love to see you do.
Yeah, I think there's something in it, isn't there? Yeah,
you could be the dummy, and Steve could be a ventriloquist. Yeah, yeah.
The main one, the one with range.
But there's
why have you got him sat here anyway? How are you going to settle with me?
We tried, he wasn't, he was too big. He's not in the number one film in the United Kingdom. That is why he's not. So that's why.
But if like a live show, fucking celebrity mastermind. There you go. Off you go.
I know, like the Tales of Witness Madness thing is, which is a film that like that was the film that I kept seeing like in the middle of the night, and that I finally got on video, and it's not very good. But it that feels like a live show with linking. Yeah, three stories that link back, and then there's a denouement.
Yeah,
that would work well.
The structure of that would work very well on stage. Yeah. You could have three different incarnations. Yeah. You've got to think of the linking device. That has to be good as well.
Yeah.
Because the thing that lets them down is that the meat between is not very good. And you get one good one.
Yeah.
The game is always to put your best anthology episodes together and make the best anthology film.
Yeah.
But, it's tantalising because I think there's something in a live version. I mean, the ideal, of course, is we do it for a couple of weeks and then some other poor fucker actually has to take over and we don't have to go and trudge into town anymore. We just get the money. I don't mean that at all. Do you want me to...
Yes.
But the thing is, I've realised I can't do it. I need to speak during it. I can't do it.
I can hold your microphone for you. That's all right.
Right.
I won't speak.
Well... Oh, right, like that.
Don't bang your face.
I know, I will.
He's getting, for audio listeners, probably this isn't going to be very good if you're listening on audio. He's going to do some magic by the looks of it, so...
Right, this is... Where is it? Victorian rapping hand. Rapping? Not like Drake. I looked up Drake. I don't know fucking Drake. The only Drake I know is Charlie Drake. So, and I thought we'd ask the late Bill Hicks, who's funnier, Ricky Gervais or Stuart Lee? First of all, it's twice for yes, once for no. Bill Hicks will ask. Bill, are you there? Twice for yes, once for no. Right, okay, he's there. That was easy, wasn't it? If this was like Derren, it would be like 2 hours before that happened. I just do it straight away. In fact, Derren, it wouldn't happen at all. You go, well, it nearly worked, but it didn't. I'm not going to ask that question. Okay. What should we ask? Who should we summon? I mean, Bill Hicks is here. You got anything to ask him?
Do you regret doing the Backstreet Boys material that I think is a bit dated and seems a bit cheap compared to your more political stuff that you did that was better?
Did you hear that, Bill? What do you say?
So he does regret it. There's more.
This is a good one.
You like this one? Magic wand for you. Oh, no, you're going to do it.
I'll talk into this mic as well. We can make it work.
Okay. This is great for a podcast, isn't it? Well, it's all film now, isn't it? I mean, you do radio things and they say, oh, and it was film. You go, what fucking, I was in my pyjamas. Anyway, so, well, first of all, this goes in here. Red goes in there like that.
There's a red string going into a box. Now there's a white string going in through a similar hole on the other side.
Show you that, look. It's literally what it is, isn't it?
Yeah. The box with some ropes inside.
If you could get your wand.
Yeah. This is a bit like doing the coverage of the royal procession. I've got to really... Fucking hell.
I want you to put the one tops of both of the
hoops. OK, the one's going through the tops of both the hoops. That is solid in there now. That's going to get...
Hold it for me.
What do I need to hold?
Just either side of the wand.
Yeah, OK. Oh, OK.
OK. Put it into lockdown. OK. Now, two separate ropes, ends there and there. Please remove the wand. And now push the little ends of the ropes into the box.
And, oh.
Don't break it.
I'm doing the things I was told.
Right, now, hold the red ends. And I don't pull them yet. Pull it tight.
What? That I wish you could see that at home.
There you go.
Yeah. You get everything. Get everything tonight. Oh, that's good.
Is that worth bringing that in
yeah,
a bag?
I think so. Is that worth going to Cornwall to buy? Did you go to Cornwall to buy those?
The whole trip was about buying the bag to put those in to come to see you.
It was worth it, and it was very nice. And it reminds me, one of my favourite moments of doing this whole thing was having to arm wrestle Simon Munnery on this stage, which again was quite a visual thing, and an unexpected treat. But I enjoyed that one, so that's you know, that's down there. Well, there's so much more I could talk to you about.
We haven't even had to do. Well, no, we did. We did the centipede. That was a kind of emergency.
This is a new one, so it doesn't matter because they're all new to you.
Yeah.
If you could be like a caterpillar and go into a chrysalis and dissolve. And you can come out of the chrysalis as anything you like. What would you emerge? If this was just your larvae stage was Reese Shearsmith, and then you can go into a pupa and come out as anything you want, what would you like to emerge?
Stretch Armstrong.
I mean, there must be something. You know, I think psychiatrists should do this because that must mean something.
It was just very appealing, wasn't it, to pull the arms and tighten them? Yeah. The other thing I liked was the Steve Austin with his bionic arm, where you could roll back.
And look through his eye.
You look through his eye, and you could roll the skin on his arm back and reveal machinery inside. I don't know what it was about rolling back that peeling back. I just like doing it.
My friend, I think it was my friend Nick Jennings. This is like, you know, like they were the first friends I had at primary school, and then a couple of years later that we never saw each other ever again. But we'd go, when I first moved to Cheddar, Nick Jennings had a Steve Austin, I don't know if he had a Stretch Armstrong, he had a little ambush game where you could shoot cowboys around. It was like a moulded plastic thing.
Oh, wow.
I can't remember what that was called. That was good. It got all the good toys.
Yeah.
That wasn't that. Was there something you really wanted for Christmas as a kid that you didn't
get? I remember...
Get?
It wasn't for Christmas. I remember one incident that will give you an insight into my childhood. I went, I think, to Fountains Abbey on a school trip, and I came back and I'd bought, with some little change money that I got given as a... You could buy your lunch with it. I didn't eat lunch, and I bought a fountain pen. It was a little pen, but it had a peacock feather on it.
Okay.
Quite extravagant. I thought I was a little writer, and I bought this thing and brought it home, and I had it in my in the house. And then I remember one afternoon, my dad coming in drunk. Where's that fucking peacock feather? And he lost on the horses, and he blamed the bad luck on the peacock feather in the house.
No.
That fucking feather! Blaming the feather! I said, it's in my room. Who's that fucking kiddie for having that feather in there? He brought it, crumpled it on, threw it on the fire.
Wow.
And that's why I'm like I am. He knows, he said sorry. but yes, and then Christmases, of course, were always just an endeavour to try to not have us creep down and look at the presents before the morning. And culminating in my dad binding with rope the door to the living room, to the front door, with rope tied, and I was down at 3 a.m. unpicking it all. And then he knew, because he came down and I'd put some of the presents back in the wrong bags.
Yeah.
You've been down, haven't you? How did you fucking get past them knots? Anyway. But it was a happy childhood. We've got to stop now, Richard.
We're just getting... You know, in the old days, I used to do like an hour... We did an hour and a half the first time, and once you get beyond that kind of hour 10, it really all starts pouring out.
I know.
He's only drinking water as well. It's fantastic. All right, look, we'll let you go. But look, everyone should go and see the fantastic See How They Run if you haven't seen it already. It's really, really good fun. I would like just more. I'd like a director's cut. I'd like you to do the director's cuts, which will then just be you.
I will.
Your character, the life of your character.
I'd do a commentary on it. Yeah, I'd like to. Yeah,
it'd be nice.
Expose.
Good luck with if you're doing any more of the Paddington show. That you will be
doing series three of Paddington. Yeah, I've done some more of Mr. Curry. He's still curmudgeonly.
Good.
Paddington's always round his house.
Yeah.
Always turning up for this or that.
Yeah. Maybe he'll be, you know, maybe people will see the good side of him through this series. Maybe when King Charles III dies, they'll be leaving little dolls of Mr. Curry.
I think, you know, I'm very excited because they are making a Mr. Curry figurine, I believe.
Oh, the cartoon character.
Yeah,
it doesn't have your face, though.
No. That would be strange.
That would be nice. Well, I hope you get to do the live number 9, and we're very much looking forward to
series.
A couple
8.
More series, you think?
Yeah, I think we'll get to 9, and then we'll stop. Ooh. We've got to stop at some point.
You mustn't stop. Not until you've done a good one. I am a massive fan, Rhys. You're an amazing, amazing writer and actor. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the amazing Rhys Shearsmith. Thank you very much. We may not be back next week, but we'll be back in a couple of weeks.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
Bob Mortimer. You have been listening to Rahulastapur with me, Rich Herring, and my guest, Rhys Shearsmith. Thank you to Scant Regard, who provide the music for these titles, but nothing else. I'm indebted to my producer, Ben Walker. Thank you very much to Chris Evans, not that one, and all of the team at Sky Potato and Go Faster Stripe, who keep this going. There's thousands of them. Most of them have sprung out of Chris Evans' testicles. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production. Why not join Acast Plus or go to GoFasterStripe.com/badges and become a monthly badger? Thank you very much. Goodbye.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.